cold air hung over Lake Shasta on the morning of November 16, 2020. Federal agents stood along the shoreline watching a patch of water that refused to settle. Bubbles rose in scattered bursts. Ripples widened, then faded into the gray surface. No one spoke. They were waiting for a man who was somewhere beneath the lake. Matthew Piercy had spent years promoting high-tech investments that never existed. Investigators believed more than $35 million had been swept into a maze of false accounts and empty guarantees. That belief pushed them to his home earlier that morning with federal warrants. Instead of stopping, he drove off and led them on a chase that made little sense at first. It ended with a single leap into the icy lake. The agents tracked the bubbles and stayed still. They did not know how long he could hold out. They only knew he had run out of land. Chapter 1, Into the Chase. The morning began quietly. Federal agents gathered near Redding, California, before sunrise on November 16, 2020, reviewing the warrants and confirming their plan. They expected resistance in the form of delays or arguments. They did not expect a chase. Their goal was clear. They needed to bring Matthew Piercy into custody and secure records linked to an investment program that had drawn complaints for more than a year. Piercy lived in a modest neighborhood north of downtown. He had built a reputation as a confident promoter. He spoke about access to private funds and high-yield trading pools. He kept technical language broad but convincing. Many investors said his confidence was the hook. They wanted to believe him. They trusted his tone, even when they did not understand the details. By 7:30 a.m., the agents were on the road. The sun had not warmed the air yet. Each member of the team reviewed the plan again. They expected the conversation at his home to be the start of a long process. They carried folders of complaints and transaction summaries. Their instructions were clear. Approach calm. Ask for cooperation. Secure the documents. Just after 8 a.m., the lead vehicle slowed near his street. Piercy's truck was parked outside. Everything looked ordinary. A few neighbors moved about their morning routines. Nothing suggested urgency. The team stepped out and moved toward the front door. Inside the house, Piercy watched them from a window. Agents would later testify that he made eye contact and then stepped back out of sight. What happened in the next few moments changed the entire operation. Instead of answering the door, he went out the back, got into his truck, and drove off before they reached the porch. The agents quickly returned to their vehicles. The chase began. His truck turned north and accelerated. The roads in that area rose and fell with gentle hills. Houses spread out. The team kept distance but stayed close enough to track his moves. Radio updates passed between units. One agent noted that his driving did not match the tone of someone in a panic. It looked deliberate. He seemed to know where he wanted to go. Minutes later, he pulled off the road and switched vehicles. Someone had left a second car parked nearby. The agents closed in, but he managed to pull out before they reached him. The switch signaled something important. He had prepared for this moment. By 9 a.m., the second vehicle headed west. The terrain opened into forested stretches and long rural bends. The team kept their pace steady. They did not want to force a crash. Radios continued to relay updates. They knew they needed patience. A chase could end in chaos if handled poorly. As they followed him, they thought about the complaints that had led to this day. Investors had reached out months earlier with concerns about delayed payments. Some had asked repeatedly for proof that their money was safely invested. They said Piercy only offered phrases that sounded rehearsed. When the complaints grew in number, federal authorities opened a deeper review. The more they looked, the more gaps they found. Back on the road, the second car Piercy drove took a sudden turn toward Lake Shasta. The agents saw the shift on their GPS screens and recognized what it might mean. The lake was large, cold, and surrounded by quiet shoreline. If he was looking for a place to hide, that was the sort of location he might choose. One agent called out the turn. The others adjusted course. The road narrowed as it approached the lake. Trees formed a corridor. The lake appeared through the gaps on the right side. The surface was still and gray. The air held a winter edge. Piercy pulled into a dirt turnout near the water. The agents slowed as they approached. They expected him to run into the trees. Instead, he opened the door, stepped out, and ran toward the shoreline. He reached the water's edge and looked back once. The agents lifted their hands, signaling for him to stop. He did not answer. He jumped into the lake. Cold water surrounded him instantly. The agents saw him disappear and then reappear farther out. Something was pulling him beneath the surface. One agent recognized the movement. The pull looked mechanical. For a moment, the team thought about sending someone after him, but the water was too cold and visibility too low. They knew they had to wait. They radioed for marine support and positioned themselves along the shoreline to track any sign of movement. The water rippled in uneven patterns. Bubbles rose in bursts. Some moved in straight lines. Others drifted in arcs that made no sense. The agents tried to predict his direction, but there was no clear pattern. It soon became evident that he was using a type of underwater propulsion device. They had seen mentions of such equipment in past cases, but rarely used in real time. Minutes stretched into longer intervals. The cold made the lake appear darker as the morning went on. A fog-like shimmer hung just above the water. The agents kept their eyes trained on the shifting bubbles. As they watched, they discussed what they knew of the case. Piercy had promoted high-yield investments through companies he controlled. Many investors believed the funds were tied to advanced technology programs. Some were told about unique trading algorithms. Others believed in exclusive opportunities that only certain clients could access. The details changed depending on who was listening, but the message stayed the same. High returns, low risk, limited explanation. Complaints began when promised payments slowed. Some investors received partial amounts. Others received nothing at all. When they asked for documentation, responses became vague. Some were told the delays were temporary. Some were told international partners were behind schedule. The pattern raised concerns that something was deeply wrong. While the agents stood on the shoreline, they kept these concerns in mind. The scheme had pushed many families into financial strain. Some had borrowed money to join the program. Others had invested retirement funds. The alleged losses approached tens of millions. This understanding added weight to the scene before them. A man in the lake was attempting to escape accountability for decisions that had changed the lives of many. 30 minutes passed. The bubbles continued but slowed at times. The agents repositioned themselves, trying to track the subtle shifts. They did not know how long the device could operate underwater. They also did not know his physical limit in the cold water. Each agent understood that time was now a factor. Shortly before 10 a.m., the team received confirmation that additional units were on the way. They were instructed to keep eyes on the water and prepare for any landing point. The lake had multiple coves and inlets. If he surfaced in the wrong place, the terrain could make pursuit difficult. For a moment, the water went still. The agents froze and scanned the surface. Then a new trail of bubbles appeared farther out. He had shifted direction again. One agent marked the location. They began to consider what his end goal might be. He had run from his home, switched vehicles, and made his way to the lake. Each decision suggested urgency, but not confusion. It looked coordinated. Investigators wondered if he believed the lake offered a path to disappear temporarily. If so, it was a plan that underestimated the conditions. The water temperature made long-duration survival unlikely. The shoreline remained silent while the team watched. Every small ripple signaled possible movement. One agent noted that the lake seemed to swallow sound. Even their own voices felt muted as they communicated in low tones. By 10:30 a.m., the situation had reached a point where no one knew how long the standoff would last. They only knew that he could not stay underwater forever. The cold would force him to surface. His device would also reach its limit. A new question formed among the team. How far would he go to avoid capture, and what did this escape attempt reveal about his awareness of the case against him? The agents waited as the bubbles drifted into a new arc. The chase had moved from roads to water. Now it entered a stage where time, temperature, and breath became the deciding factors. They kept their focus on the gray surface and prepared for what might happen next. Chapter 2, Desperation Underwater. The surface of Lake Shasta shifted in slow patterns while the agents watched from the shoreline. The bubbles that marked Piercy's path moved in uncertain trails. Sometimes they broke in tight clusters. Other times they drifted across open water as if carried by a current. The team tried to track each burst as the minutes passed. They kept their eyes trained on the lake and their attention sharp. Every ripple felt like a clue. The cold cut into the morning. Fog settled near the waterline and lifted in thin sheets. The agents stayed close to the edge, uneasy but steady. They spoke in low voices about the last updates from earlier that day. They knew the escape attempt was connected to the financial investigation that had unfolded in the months before November 16, 2020. The investigation began with questions that seemed small at first. A few investors had asked about delays. Then more people came forward. Back then, the complaints followed a similar pattern. Some investors said their accounts showed rapid gains but no withdrawals. Others said promised earnings never matched the money they received. When they asked Piercy for explanations, he gave answers that sounded convincing but lacked real proof. He often referred to specialized trading programs or offshore pools. He said the results were controlled by advanced algorithms. The language impressed investors who wanted high returns without the volatility of traditional markets. One investor told agents he believed Piercy had discovered a rare opportunity that only needed secrecy to thrive. Another said Piercy's confidence made him feel safe. Most of the victims said the same thing. They trusted his voice and the certainty in his tone. As the investigators reviewed bank records in the months before the arrest attempt, they saw details that did not align. Money moved between accounts in ways that suggested recycling of funds. Incoming payments were routed to earlier investors. Withdrawals did not match claimed profits. When regulators asked for trading statements, the responses were incomplete. These findings shifted the case from a dispute to a suspected Ponzi structure. The losses were believed to exceed $35 million, though exact totals varied by source. These findings set the stage for the warrants served that morning. On the shoreline, the agents considered these facts as they tracked the trail of bubbles. Each minute made the scene more surreal. It was rare for a financial suspect to flee underwater. It was even rarer to maintain a chase that lasted this long in near-freezing temperatures. The team understood that the physical strain inside the lake must have been intense. One agent called out a new pattern. The bubbles were beginning to form a wide oval. This suggested that Piercy was circling under the surface, either trying to confuse them or simply trying to stay hidden. Marine support was still on the way. But the agents understood that the device he used allowed faster underwater movement than a person could track with sight alone. They kept their positions. They tried to guess the direction he might take if he surfaced. They also thought about what might have driven him to this choice. When someone chooses a path that risks hypothermia, it signals desperation. The agents understood that fear of prison can push someone into dangerous decisions. They also understood that the attempt to flee made the underlying case stronger. It suggested the suspect knew the allegations carried weight. A light wind moved across the surface. The air had a metallic sharpness. The water looked darker as the clouds shifted overhead. It was now mid-morning, and still no sign of him above the surface. One agent checked the time and shook his head. They estimated he had been underwater for close to 20 minutes. This confused the team. A diver in this environment would struggle to last more than a few minutes without a full suit and oxygen tank. The only explanation was the device he carried. They had seen similar equipment in other situations. A small submersible scooter could pull its user through the water for extended periods. Still, the cold would work quickly against the body. While they waited, the agents thought about interviews they had conducted with investors months earlier. One man said he had invested because he believed in the promise of emerging technologies. He said Piercy talked about secure offshore platforms that operated outside normal market risks. The investor said he felt reassured by the thought of innovation. When he learned that withdrawals were stalled, he contacted other investors. Only then did he realize that several people were experiencing the same delays. Another investor told agents she felt embarrassed to report her loss. She said Piercy spoke with a tone that made her feel he was doing her a personal favor. When she saw no returns, she tried to reach him. She only received short replies with vague explanations. She waited months before reporting the issue. By then, the losses had grown. These interviews shaped how investigators approached the case. They learned to look closely at how the money moved. They examined statements, email timelines, and bank deposits. Nothing pointed to actual trading activity. Instead, it pointed to transfers that supported earlier payouts. This raised clear red flags and set the investigation on a path that led to the arrest attempt at the lake. The bubbles slowed again. The agents tensed. They scanned the water for any shape or shadow. For a moment, the lake went still. Then a fresh line of bubbles broke the surface near a rocky inlet. The agents adjusted their position and signaled to each other. One agent muttered that he must be tiring. Another noted that even with the scooter, the cold would drain energy quickly. They expected to see a head pop above the surface at any moment. Still, nothing emerged. The waiting continued. Each agent felt the weight of the silence. Time stretched and became harder to gauge. The shoreline felt suspended between motion and stillness. To occupy the long minutes, the agents talked quietly about the digital records they had reviewed. The data showed promised returns that were mathematically impossible. Some accounts claimed growth that outpaced market averages by extreme margins. When victims asked for withdrawals, their money often came from newer investors. Nothing indicated legitimate trading. These findings strengthened the case and shaped the warrants brought to Piercy's home. While they discussed these details, a new trail of bubbles appeared. It moved in a narrow line toward deeper water. The agent stepped closer to the edge. One of them pointed. Another lifted binoculars. The trail continued for several yards before fading. The lead agent talked through the next steps. They would wait for marine units to arrive. When he surfaced, they would move quickly and secure him. They knew the cold would weaken him. They wanted the arrest to be safe. No one wanted the situation to turn into a rescue operation, but they understood it might. The bubbles drifted again. This time they moved closer to the shoreline. The agents shifted into new positions. One called in an update to the command center. It was now late morning. The weather remained gray and the air carried a cold bite. The agents had been standing for hours, yet the tension held them alert. In the quiet moments between bubble trails, they talked more about the victims. One agent remembered an interview with a couple who invested a significant portion of their savings. They said they believed they were preparing for retirement. They trusted the program because it sounded private and exclusive. They were shocked when they learned the truth. They felt anger and disappointment. They also felt responsible for others who had invested after hearing their positive comments. The weight of that guilt stayed with them. Another agent talked about the early stages of the investigation. He said the hardest part was proving there were no real trades behind the statements. When the team asked for documentation, they received printed summaries that did not match transaction records. They saw templates reused across multiple accounts. They saw the same language repeated in letters sent to different investors. These details pointed to fabrication. The agents on the shoreline listened quietly. They knew that the lake chase would draw attention. They also knew the core of the case rested on the financial evidence. The bizarre escape attempt would become a dramatic moment, but the victims' losses were the heart of the investigation. Around midday, a new concern developed. The bubbles slowed to the point where the agents questioned whether the device had stopped working. They watched the still surface with growing caution. Suddenly, a faint trail appeared near the mouth of the cove. It moved slowly this time, as if the power of the scooter had weakened or the user had grown tired. The agents stepped forward again. One of them spoke softly. He said the suspect might be reaching his physical limit. The cold water would have taken its toll. His muscles would be stiff. His breathing would be shallow. The agent believed they were close to the end of the standoff. They waited. The trail of bubbles thinned out. The water went still again. The agents scanned the lake with a rising sense of anticipation. The minutes passed with heavy silence. Then another thought entered their minds. What if he tried to move toward another shoreline and slip out of sight? They considered this possibility and repositioned to account for different angles. The shoreline curved in a way that created blind spots. They moved to fill them. The lake remained silent. The agents stared at the surface, waiting for any sign of movement. More than 2 hours had passed since Piercy jumped into the water. The team estimated that no device could sustain constant underwater propulsion beyond that point. They also knew that cold exposure alone could force someone to surface. The body could not endure that temperature indefinitely. As they waited, the agents thought about the patterns they saw in financial crimes. Desperation was common. When a scheme collapsed, the person behind it often tried to stall or deny wrongdoing. Some fled. Some tried to hide assets. Few chose a path as unusual as an underwater escape. The team realized that his attempt to flee was also evidence of his awareness of the investigation's strength. The decision to run, switch vehicles, and dive indicated fear of the consequences. It also showed the weight of the case pressing down on him. The surface of the lake rippled suddenly. A faint disturbance spread across the water. The agents focused their attention on the spot. More ripples appeared. Something was shifting beneath the surface. They waited for the moment when the head would break the water. They prepared to move. They braced themselves. Then the ripples faded. The water settled again. The agents exchanged uneasy looks. Each minute increased the possibility that the suspect had reached his limit. They understood the danger. Hypothermia could set in quickly. The scooter could malfunction. The risk of drowning increased with each passing moment. They waited, silent and steady. Minutes later, a faint disturbance appeared again. This time, it traveled in a straight line toward the shore. The agents adjusted their stance. The ripple grew more pronounced. They saw movement beneath the surface. The moment was close. They stood ready for whatever came next. They understood that when he surfaced, they would move quickly. They knew the lake had become the stage for a moment that would shape the entire case. They watched the water as it shifted again. The end of the underwater chase was approaching. Chapter 3, Surface Collapse and Aftermath. The lake shifted again with a new tremor near the shoreline. The agents stepped closer. The ripples widened in steady rings. They knew the moment had arrived. After more than 2 hours beneath the surface, Piercy could not stay down any longer. The cold alone would have forced the decision. A head rose abruptly through the gray water. He gasped as he drew in air. His face was pale, and his breathing was erratic. His arms struggled to stay above the surface, while the small underwater scooter drifted beside him. It no longer pulled him with force. Its battery seemed nearly dead. The agents moved fast. They called out for him to keep his hands visible. He looked toward them, exhausted. He did not resist. The cold had taken the fight out of him. Two agents waded in up to their waists and reached him. They grabbed his arms and guided him back to the shoreline. He trembled violently as they pulled him from the water. His clothes clung to his body. His jaw tightened as he tried to speak, but no clear words came out. The agents wrapped him in blankets and placed him on the ground. They checked his pulse. It was rapid but steady. They knew he needed warmth quickly. They signaled for medical personnel who had been waiting nearby. While medics assessed him, the agents stepped back and took in the scene. The long chase had ended quietly. The extraordinary escape attempt was over. The gravity of the case returned to the center of their thoughts. They knew this moment would mark a turning point in the investigation. Piercy was placed in a vehicle with the heat running high. Medics monitored his breathing and skin temperature. He spoke in short phrases as the warmth returned. The agents read him his rights. He nodded, still shivering. He seemed too weak to respond fully. Once medically cleared, he was transported to a federal facility. The lake faded behind them as the convoy pulled away. The agents felt a mixture of relief and disbelief. Few cases in their careers had unfolded in such a surreal way. The imagery of an underwater chase would stay with them for a long time. Back at the command center, the team reviewed the sequence of events. They logged the times. Piercy left his home around 8 a.m. He switched vehicles shortly after. He entered the lake closer to 9 a.m. He surfaced after more than 2 hours. Each detail mattered for the official record. Next came the financial portion of the work. The investigators began to assess the documents seized earlier that morning. They examined account statements, letters to investors, and records that Piercy maintained through his companies. These files would be key to understanding the proven structure of the scheme. They looked closely at the incoming deposits. Many came from individual investors who believed they were putting money into high-yield technology funds. the documents claimed involvement in secure offshore trading programs. Some letters promised consistent returns that did not match market realities. They noted patterns that matched classic Ponzi operations. New deposits were used to pay earlier investors. There were no verifiable records of meaningful trading activity. One agent pulled up a timeline of the company's claims. Piercy had advertised special opportunities with advanced technology funds. He said these funds used proprietary strategies that guaranteed high returns. The investigators now knew these claims lacked supporting evidence. They documented the false statements and noted which claims were allegations and which were supported by bank records. Interviews resumed with victims across multiple states. Many of them had invested large portions of their savings. Some said they believed they were entering exclusive programs tied to global technology markets. Others said they trusted Piercy because he presented himself as someone with insider access to secure trading environments. These claims varied in detail but shared the same theme. Investors believed in the promise of stability and growth. Victims described how the delays started, withdrawals were postponed, explanations grew vague. Some investors said they were told international partners were behind schedule. Others said they were told there were temporary technical issues. When the delays continued, panic set in. The agents listened as victims explained the emotional and financial cost of the losses. One man said he invested funds intended for his children's education. Another said she used money that she saved over two decades. Their voices carried disappointment and strain. Each victim had a story that revealed more than numbers. It revealed trust that had been broken. As the agents gathered these stories, they built the timeline of the scheme. They noted when deposits increased and when delays began. They matched these points with the emails Piercy sent. They saw how his messages grew shorter and less detailed as the scheme neared collapse. They traced his travel records and matched them with investor complaints. Days after the arrest, the team returned to the scene at Lake Shasta to collect any remaining evidence. They recovered the underwater scooter. It drifted near the shoreline where the chase had ended. Its battery was nearly drained. They logged it as evidence and documented its condition. Back at the office, they examined his electronic devices. They reviewed messages, call logs, and internal documents. They found drafts of investor updates that never went out. Some messages included phrases about delays that appeared repeated across different communications. They also found spreadsheets that listed investor names and balances that far exceeded the actual funds available. When federal prosecutors reviewed the findings, they outlined charges based on proven patterns. They charged him with wire fraud, money laundering, and other financial offenses. The indictment detailed how the investments were marketed, how the funds moved, and how victims were misled. It also documented the attempt to flee during the execution of the warrants. Piercy's legal team entered the case. They reviewed the evidence, they weighed the testimony of the investors, and the financial records. After months of negotiations, Piercy entered a plea. He admitted that he operated a scheme that resulted in major losses. The court accepted the plea and prepared for sentencing. During the hearing, victims addressed the court. They spoke about the impact of the losses. One woman said she feared losing her home. Another said she had delayed medical treatment because of financial strain. A man said he had trusted Piercy because he believed the program would secure his retirement. Their statements added weight to the sentencing process. The judge reviewed the details of the case. He cited the length of the scheme, the amount of money involved, and the number of victims. He also noted the attempt to flee in the lake. This act suggested awareness of the investigation's strength. The judge said that financial crimes carry deep and lasting harm because they strike at a person's ability to plan for the future. Piercy received a sentence consistent with federal guidelines for the proven offenses. He was ordered to pay restitution. The court noted that full repayment might never be possible due to the scale of the losses. After the sentencing, investors gathered outside the courthouse. Some said they felt relief knowing the case had reached a conclusion. Others said the emotional impact would take years to overcome. They described the judgment as a necessary step toward closure. Investigators also reflected on the case. Many said the underwater chase would remain one of the most unusual moments in their careers. One agent said the sight of bubbles moving across the gray lake would stay with him for years. Another said the case demonstrated how fear can drive irrational decisions. The team also discussed what the case revealed about oversight. They said better reporting systems might help detect similar schemes earlier. They noted that victims often hesitate to report problems until losses become severe. They hoped the case would encourage earlier action in future situations. In the months that followed, regulators reviewed their procedures. They considered new ways to track unusual investment claims. They aimed to strengthen communication channels between agencies. The goal was to identify fraud earlier and reduce harm. Lake Shasta remained unchanged as time passed. The shoreline where the chase ended looked the same. The water carried the same calm surface that hid the events of that morning. Boaters passed by unaware of the dramatic moment that once took place there. For the investigators, the memory remained clear. They remembered the cold air, the ripple trails, and the long wait. They remembered the moment he surfaced. They remembered the exhaustion on his face as they pulled him from the water. For the victims, the case became a chapter in their financial lives that they hoped to move beyond. Some rebuilt slowly, others struggled longer. All carried the memory of trust that had been misused. In the record books, the case stood out not only for the financial losses, but for the strange attempt to escape. It was a rare example of a suspect choosing an underwater path to avoid arrest. It showed how fear can pull someone into decisions that defy logic. The investigators closed the file with a final note. The scheme had caused real harm. The escape attempt had failed. The truth had surfaced with the same force as Piercy emerging from the lake. The case offered a reminder about the cost of deception. It also offered a reminder that the pursuit of justice can unfold in unexpected places. A quiet lake on a cold morning had become the scene of a crime's final turn. The agents moved on to other cases, but they carried this one with them. It became a story shared among colleagues, a moment that captured the strange mix of human decision, fear, and consequence. It showed how desperate acts reveal the pressure that builds beneath the surface long before anyone dives into a lake.